Blog Talk Radio.
This is a special edition of Hard Hits Podcast, Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Derek Felix, and I'll be discussing two sports legends. One being Roger Federer, the recent Australian Open champion, a repeat winner at the age of 36, just unbelievable. And two, Jaromir Jagr, an all-time great, one of the greatest players to ever play in the NHL, and recently let go by the Flames, and at the age of 45, and he'll be 46 on February 15th, later this month, in 2 weeks. He'll be back home in the Czech Republic, and assigned to play for Kladno, the team, his hometown team, where it all started. Where it all started at the age of 16. And he'll be turning 46 later this month. A guy that just has always loved playing the game. And he's going home. And if it's it for Jagr as far as the NHL goes, we're going to miss him. I'm going to stay with Jagr for a second because, quite frankly, Jaromír Jagr has always been one of my favorite players to watch. Just unbelievable dangles. The skating, although, of course, he slowed down at the end, but he still used his strength. He's still just so creative. And even at the age of 42, a tender age, he was leading the Devils in scoring, led the Panthers in scoring, and even to the playoffs a couple of years ago. And that's what makes Jaromír Jagr special. A once-in-a-lifetime talent, a guy who entered the league after getting taken fifth of the world by the Penguins, stolen, really, when you think about Peter Nedved going ahead of him. A guy that teamed up with Mario Lemieux to win back-to-back Stanley Cups his rookie year and his second year. So he won two, Stanley Cups at the by the age of 20. He would never win another one, but not into Mario, but still. Jagr stuck around a lot longer and stayed healthy. Nobody had a stronger work ethic than Mr. Jaromír Jagr. Number 68, the guy that, had so many great highlights throughout his career. Used to torment the Rangers, certainly. Tormented a lot of teams, actually. Tormented the Devils first in 92, when the Devils thought they had a chance to beat the to pull the upset. And in a really close, hard-fought matchup, series that would go 7 games, Jagr scored an overtime goal, which he would allow that's where he undressed quite a few Devils, and Cody Kendako, not one of his favorite memories. He spoke about it the other night on the Devils broadcast in their game the other night. But that's... that's the epitome of Jagr. That's Xavier. That's Abrod. Mr. Jagr with Dan Torment, the Rangers. The Rangers were the President's Trophy winners. They had finished first. And there was a little bit of a strike. I'm not going to make excuses, but the Penguins ultimately will win the series in six games. Series turned around. Jágr would score on a penalty shot in one of the games. And also, of course, and I was watching the highlights of it last night, coincidentally, game four at the Classic Igloo in Pittsburgh at the Civic Center. And a game the Rangers had 3-2 goal leads and then could not hold on. So Richter would allow the long goal to Rod Francis from almost the red line. And Francis would get a hat trick. And the Penguins would prevail. Francis with the redirect of a Murphy shot. And Jágr certainly was very dominant in that series also. And Jágr, of course, would also have a very memorable goal. Probably the greatest goal he ever scored would have to be the goal he scored against the Blackhawks and at Belfour in their sweep of Chicago. A play that started with him along the boards and then just somehow putting the puck between Derek Graham and getting by him, going around two other Blackhawks, and then going to the backhand and whipping a backhand pass Eddie Belfour, who had Belfour also a Hall of Fame, or as well. So it is pretty insane. It's an insane goal. It's one of just many highlights throughout Mr. Jágr's career, but the peaks and just the size, strength. How about the goal that he scored in 1999, final game of Wayne Gretzky's career? Kind of a passing of the torch. A game that I was at MSG with my brother and for the old Section 411. And a game that went to overtime. And Mr. Jágr, the old rules with a guy drinking all over him, used his size and strength. Once he came out around the behind the net, I kind of knew what was going to happen. He would score and he would score the winner. And just unbelievable. Mr. Jágr. I can't say enough things about Jágr. That playoffs with the Pens, after winning his only Hart Trophy, a year that he won the Ross, one of five scoring titles that he won with 127 points. One of his more memorable moments would have to be Game 6 against the Devils in the first round. The Devils, of course, were the favorites. They had an excellent team, of course, with Brodeur, with Scott Stevens, Scotty Niedermeyer, Bobby Holik. A lot of Devils that were on the verge, of course, Arnott, Secor, and Elias were just formulating. Next year, they would win. The A-line would be together for about 3 years. But Jágr would get hurt. He would tweak his groin, so a little bit of a groin pull, and he would miss Game 5 and Game 6. Jágr would dress. He'd come back after missing that one game. What would he do? Probably one of the more inspiring performances that you'll ever see. On one leg, basically, Mr. Jágr. Will the Pens back to win Game 6, a game they trailed twice, 1-0. They were tied at 1 on a goal by Marty Strucker from old hat, Alexei Kovalev, my favorite player. And then the Devils would go ahead again on a Jason Arnott blast. And it looked like that would be the winner of goal that was a power play goal that from the point that went off Ian Moran. It was getting down to the nitty gritty, and Mr. Jágr would play the hero because they showed him throughout the game, and it was good. It was the NHL was still on Fox, and you had Doc and JD, the best team ever, Doc Emmerich and John Davidson, of course, and they showed the checking how the Devils were finishing every check on Jágr. He was going up against Scott Stevens, going up against Scotty Niedermeyer, Bobby Holik certainly finished checks. Jágr missed a few shifts in the second period. You could see the hurt, but when push came to shove somehow, he found a way. He was strong enough to get in front, get the position on Niedermeyer, after Stevens and Dubar switched, with Jared Titov leaving a drop as Yager somehow stuffed it home. And with 2:12 left past Brodeur, and the game would go to overtime. And we know what happened there, a game I remember watching here in this place, watching it on TV. A great play by Straka going around the double defense who got caught out there. And he makes the centering feed, and Yager buried it top shelf. And that place, vehicle went absolutely crazy. And just an awe-inspiring moment, one of those moments that I'll always remember because I thought it was just unbelievable in what he was able to do. Of course, back then, being a lot younger, of course, I was going for the Peps because I hated the Devils. I still don't like the Devils, but I'm a little more respectful of them and what they were able to do, certainly. But for him to do what he did in that game, putting his team on his back, and then, of course, Game 7, they would go into enemy territory at the old CAA, a place that was a nightmare for most opponents, especially the Rangers, where they were awful during that time. Very hard place to win, and they would finish off the Devils to beat them by a couple of goals. And that's one of my favorite memories. When you think of Yaromir Yager, I have to go talk about what he did with the Rangers. Obviously, after getting a trade from the Caps, where he was not happy for the 3 years he was there. They only made the playoffs once. They blew a 2-0 lead to the Lightning. And Yager, I don't think he really wanted to be a Cap. He was a Cap killer. I don't really think they took to him, kind of like when Messier left the Rangers after 97, if they're able to win. Goes to the Canucks, and I never understood why the Canucks side of it. That never really made sense, and that's the only return back to the Rangers for part two, which didn't go as well. But Yager always wanted to play on Broadway, always wanted to come to New York and play for the Rangers, and he got his wish. Traded for Anson Carter, the Caps were willing to dump the salary, and the Rangers were happy to get him before the end of the 03-04 season and then the lockout, and Yager would go play over in Russia at the KHL for Omsk Vanguard at the KHL, Continental Hockey League. They spent the year there. It was the awful lockout, which canceled the entire 04-05 season, and the Rangers were coming back. And most observers, including myself, expected them to be awful. Figured they would be a last place team, 30th overall. Didn't matter if they had Yager. But little did I know that some of the same signings, like Michael Nylander, like Mario Rutschinski, like Martin Straka, Yager's old buddy, and like a rookie by the name of Peter Pruka, Nemechek, guys like Marek Malik and Michael Roosevelt, who played in Pittsburgh with Yager for a short period. Little did I know that, and a guy by the name of Henrik Lundqvist, rookie back then, was. Little did I know that Yager guaranteed the playoffs, and did he deliver? He was motivated and inspired. He would set the marks that year, breaking Adam Graves' record from 94 for individual season, beating him with 54 goals, and also totaling the most points in a single season by a New York Ranger, where he finished with 123 points. And Yager was just unbelievable that year. He would get beaten out for the Art Ross by Joe Thornton, who was just unbelievable with the Sharks. What he put up, he put up 92 points in about half a season with the Sharks after the Bruins mistakenly traded him. Just an awful trade. And Thornton would actually beat him out for the Art Ross, and they would actually pick up to be the heart winner. It's not that Joe Thornton wasn't deserving of his only heart, but I really felt that Yager deserved it based on the fact the Rangers had no I really didn't have many expectations while the Sharks did, but it was obviously a brilliant move for the Sharks to team up Joe Thornton with Patrick Marleau, the first two players drafted in that 97 draft, and both guys were still playing. Marleau was best of Shark until he left for the Maple Leafs, where he's with Toronto for this year and next year. And Joe Thornton is still the Sharks, and he's still producing. He's got 13 goals, and he's picked that up tremendously. Can't say enough, though, about Jágr, what he did that year. You know, it didn't end the way I would have liked to see him then. Let them get it swept. You know, the Devils, what's their rules with Jágr? Going after Gomez, messing up his arm, his shoulder, missing a game, and he would leave game four hurt and make it worse. And he still put up 96 points the following year. He never missed a regular season game in the 3 years he was here. 123 points, 96, and 71 in three full seasons. Three plus, you know, when he came from the Washington Caps before the lockout. He changed the culture here. Everybody could talk about Lundqvist and what he's done, and he's an all-time great as well. He'll go down as one of the great goalies. Probably going to make it to 500 wins. He's got a good chance to do that. But I really think Jágr changed the culture. And I give Jágr a lot of credit for what he was able to do between the ages of 34, 33, and 35, going up 36. And he certainly made it very exciting, and everything changed. And it was passed down to Lundqvist and a bunch of Rangers. And Jágr, of course, would go on. He would leave the Rangers, go to the K, where he'd play for another 3 years. What if he didn't go there? How many more goals? How many more points could he have put up? Would he have stuck around as long when he came back, when he returned to play for the Flyers? Yeah, I don't know. I'll never know, but I did write an article about it, about Jágr, kind of a tribute on NewYorkPuck.com. You could read it, and you could see what I said about a guy that ranks third all-time in games played, 1,733, trailing on Mr. Messier, Mark Messier, and Gordie Howe, third all-time in goals, 766 behind Gretzky and Howe, and, of course, sitting second all-time in points with 4,900 behind the great one. And it didn't work out in Calgary. It just wasn't a good fit. He only had one goal against Detroit and six assists and 22 games played. And it's too bad. You know, we never envision things like this ending the way they do. It doesn't always end great for players, for all-time greats. Not everybody goes out on top. But all the best to Jágr. Still got your 99 Pens replica jersey that I bought at Jerry Cosby's after a Ranger game. I got it on sale, and I spent maybe $75 total, over 100 total, garden side before they redid it and turned it into what it is now, which is not as good. Trust me on that. But Jágr is a legend. One of my favorite all-time players, and I'm going to definitely miss him. And I do wish him the very best back home with Czech Republic and Kladno. I will also want to pay tribute to Roger Federer. Federer is he's just ageless as well. Most tennis players, they don't stick around as long as Roger Federer has, but Federer has rediscovered what made him great. What made him so dominant all those years, went without a major until last year for about 3 years, with Djokovic certainly taking over Andy Murray and Stan Wawrinka as well. And then Roger comes back and wins two majors last year, age 35, when he won the Australian, and also I think he was still 35 when he won Wimbledon, and then he would turn 36. And I'll tell you, Federer is just amazing. He keeps himself in great shape. He he stays healthy. Obviously, he's cut down a little bit on the schedule. Skipped Roland Garros last year. His old buddy Rafa Nadal came back to life as well, winning both the French and winning the U.S. Open. And there was a lot of expectations. Like, could these guys continue to maintain what they're doing, you know, now that they're in their 30s? And Federer certainly delivered. Nadal got hurt, unfortunately, in his match against Baron Cilic, a quarterfinal. Five-setter where he was down 2-love and realized that with the bad hip, he couldn't move. So he had to actually retire, very sad. You know, it would have been nice to see Federer and Nadal in a rematch, but it didn't happen. But Baron Cilic played a great match against Roger. I stayed up and watched it, and what a match that was. I mean, just Cilic just bopping the ball. Federer took the first set. Cilic would come back and win the second set and really bob from the baseline with his forehand, his backhand, and dictate the points. Federer won the third set. Cilic kind of let down a little. The fourth set, it looked like Cilic was done when Federer got the early break, but Cilic refocused and just came back so well and would win the fourth set. And it looked like he had all the momentum in the world. And Roger is 36. Cilic, I think, is, 28 or 29, former U.S. Open winner who destroyed Federer in his one win at the Open a few years back. But Federer, he willed himself through those first two games. He's break points in the first game, first service game. Cilic missed a couple of shots that it looked like he had loaded up. Federer played great defense. And then not being able to break their hurt. And as usual, when it comes to tennis, if you don't break, you miss those opportunities in one game. The next game usually is when you get broken. And Cilic again would get broken. And so instead of being up 2-love, he'd be down 0-2. And Federer would cruise from there and just serve beautifully. He, after just an awful fourth set where he couldn't get any first service, I don't think he was about 34-35% for that set. But maybe the break helped Federer. Took a 10-minute break, came back, and he was able to climb out of those first two games. And Cilic admitted that he had his chance there and just didn't take it. And Federer said, basically admitted that had he lost that game, it could have gone the other way. And that was the kind of match it was. It was a very good match. High quality. But Federer doing what he does best when that fifth set, 6-3, and he cried. And he showed a lot of emotion after winning his record 20th Grand Slam title. Just unbelievable to think that he's got up to 20. He was stuck on 16 for so long. Actually, no, I think it was, he was stuck on 17. 16, and it was 17. 18 and 19 last year, I guess 20. Never thought it would happen. But Roger's unbelievable. He just moves so smoothly. He can handle the pace. I mean, Cilic was creeping the ball. And Federer is still making unbelievable shots and still playing great defense and making unbelievable half volleys from out of no man's land for winners, and he came up with this one backhand winner and really extended rally cross court. I don't know how he came up with the angle, but he somehow put it right smack on the line, at an angle where there was no way Cilic could get to it because it was short, and was out, but it caught the line. It was challenged, and Federer wound up winning that huge point. And that's Roger. Roger just has that ability to step up. I don't know how long it's going to last, but you look at Andy Murray, he's hurt. He's not going to be back until Wimbledon with the hip surgery. And who knows how effective it'll be. Wawrinka, of course, struggled mightily, losing in the second round. So I don't know how strong he'll be the rest of the season. Djokovic came back in this Australian, and he was knocked out. I think in the, was it the third round or the fourth round? The fourth round, I think, by the Korean, that new Korean kid that looks like he's going to be really good. Keep an eye on him. He's going to beat Zverev. Zverev still have not proven that he can back anything up with as far as the Grand Slam is, where he dropped. He's out of the top three. Cilic's up to three, and Cilic looks like he'll have a big year and he'll challenge, certainly. I would expect Djokovic to get better, although I'm not sure about his serve, especially with the elbow. His motion's a little different. He's going to have to place it better, but I would expect him to get much better. The ground strokes are still right there, and I would expect him to get much better in talent. Nadal, it depends. I don't know how serious his injury is, but he'd still be the favorite to win the French Open. He's already got the record there. What has he got? Like, what's he won? 11 over, 11 over there? I think it's 11. So that's amazing in itself. After he passed Borg, Rafa, certainly, look at his career. He looked like he was finished also from the pounding. And the pounding is something you worry about with Rafa. But Roger doesn't play that kind of style. And that's allowed him to continue to hang around. And, he goes to the net. He can finish points. He doesn't have to grind out every point. He can break points over because he has the kind of ground. He mixes up his variety so well. And, that's what makes Roger. It's really unbelievable to watch tennis and to watch Roger Federer, a magician. It's like watching Ray Roja or Van Gogh finish a perfect painting. That also applies to Yaron Jagr with how well he played. It just... the peaks and the wizardry, whether it was finishing or setting up. Like, he set up Mario when Mario decided to come back in 2001, right before Christmas, when he came back and scored against the Maple Leafs in his first game back. Amazing stuff, certainly. But when you talk about Jagr and you talk about Roger, obviously it'd be sad if it really is the end for Jagr and the other child, but he was unbelievable. And I'm just really glad that I got to see him live play for the Rangers. He made the Rangers a team to talk about again, a team that could make the playoffs, that could make a push. He changed the culture here, and they've only missed the playoffs once with Lundqvist and with a core, although it looks like that's about to change. It looks like they're going to sell. And they do look like a mediocre team, even though the division is so weak. Islanders lost again, and the Flyers lost, and everybody loses around them. So it's like, I don't know. I mean, they played the Maple Leafs tonight. The Maple Leafs killed the Islanders 5-0. They got crushed. So it's like, I don't know what to say about it, but, I just want to pay homage to one of the all-time greats, Jaromir Jagr, a guy that had so much personality. Every interview was so much fun, especially he really loosened up, and he showed that personality as he got older, and always the prankster. And you watch a lot of other guys get interviewed at hockey, and they're very serious and very boring, and they just say the same boring thing every time. But you look at Jagr, and then you watch Jagr get interviewed. He's having fun. He's making jokes. He's making wisecracks. How about when he played with Brodeur, when they played together a few years back, the two 42-year-olds, 41, 42-year-olds teaming up, even though they didn't make the playoffs, but they had fun. And that was fun to watch. And I think, and that's the thing, I think both Ranger and Devils fans, because we got to see Jagr and we got to see what he was all about. And that's one thing we could agree on. Jaromir Jagr was just such a joy to watch. He was so enjoyable. It's the same thing with Roger Federer. I don't know how long, much longer he'll hang around, but he loves the game. It's the same. They're very similar in that way. And Roger is very classy, and Yager, very much the same. And personality to match. And they're just two true champions. It's certainly, we're lucky this far as sports go. And that's what I wanted to say about these two legends. And I wanted to pay tribute to them, and they deserve it. They deserve every accolade they get. So that's certainly gonna do it for this podcast edition. I really hope that if anybody listens to it, you enjoyed it. It was a joy for me too, because two legends, and they really deserve the kudos that they're getting. Thank you, and make sure you tune in later. You never know, we might do a show, but we'll be doing more. I'll make sure I do more podcasts. And now we have a little bit of the NHL 94 music, so we can play the end of that and finish out this podcast. So I want to thank you, and Yager and Mariel, still the best in NHL 94 duo, along with some other great ones like Federer, like Eisenman, Bessier, Kovalev, for a women one. A lot of great ones, Roenick, of course, and Roger, but I still would have to say Yager and Mariel were the best in NHL 94. This is Derek Felix, signing. And thank you to him. A really great first day of February, folks. Enjoy.